Good morning, everybody. Stefan Dubocki speaking. Warm welcome from my side to this investor and analyst call for the first half year results of the Lenzing Group. The first half year was in line with what we have guided in the previous call, a pretty demanding environment, but we are very proud on what we believe is a very solid first half year. Group revenue at 1,075 million, which is 6.4% down compared to the same period last year. Main drivers, and Thomas will elucidate there, were foreign exchange and some volume impact. EBITDA down 28% at 194.8 million. Next to the above mentioned reasons, it's the ongoing very high raw material costs, specifically caustic, that is driving that. Again, Thomas will elucidate more as we go. Balance sheet remains very solid with an equity ratio of 59% and a pretty low net financial debt of 144 million. In this period, of course, we also paid out the dividend. The execution of the strategy in full swing. We have the highest ever specialty rate of the total revenue portfolio with slightly above 44%. And we are also very pleased that the first of our expansions on the specialty fibers, namely the third line in Lyocell, has now been started up, and the startup is going very well. Now, we recently announced then the major next step in sort of executing our strategy, the basic engineering, the permitting process together with our partner Duratex in the joint venture in Brazil. But also, we have announced that the progress that we make with Tensilux, our filament yarn, is going very well. As a consequence, we didn't want it to wait that long for a commercial line and decided to take an intermediate step and put a small-scale line for 30 million that should come up in operation next year. Also, the progress in Ecovero, absolutely super. We are very proud also that the market is taking up. As a consequence, we decided to extend the production footprint now also to China. And I will go into more detail then on the launch of our new brand architecture, some of the insights we already gave you last time, but this whole drive to go closer to consumer is absolutely essential. And in the first half, after the shareholder meeting, we also then paid out the dividend of 3 plus 2 euro per share special dividend. Let's go a little bit into the market. On the market side, it was specifically cotton, actually, that provided some, I would say, some positive support in this otherwise not particularly easy market environment. Cotton actually inched above the $1 per pound quoting in the period of June. Viscose prices, I will go more in thereafter, expected low first quarter, some, you know, blipping up in the second quarter, but then coming again sharply down, exactly in line with expectation. And also polyester prices on a relatively high level to what we had historically, but also trending slightly down. Going now then to the cotton market. Cotton, very strong demand with a fear of somewhat tight supply. We saw this then also in rising futures, and the price, as I said before, going up in the second quarter above the 100 cents per pound mark. The outlook, the cotton outlook, the A index at 83 cents a pound, and also very positive outlook for the 18-19 season with a cotton outlook of 84 cents a pound. And just generally, we expect that the consumption to continue to be high, and that overall has some sort of, you know, positive impact, particularly also on our specialty fiber business. If you look at the inventory development, inventory did come down, and we are now at an inventory level in the total market that is again comparable to the 2011-2012 period. What is very noteworthy, however, is that in this period the Chinese inventory continued to go down. Looking specifically at the viscose market environment, you remember I was not particularly bullish about this part of the market, and I think that has proved to be right over the last couple of quarters. After the market dropping to 13,850 RMB a level, we saw, and cotton played a role in there, the market going up by about 1,000 RMB a kilogram on the spot market. But then, as now we start to see the new capacities coming into the market, we are now trending at around the level of 14,100 RMB. Utilization rate by now below the 80% mark, so we do see the market getting longer, and we also do expect, and I will get later to that, that viscose prices will remain on a rather stressed level. Pulp, compared to the same period of last year, about the same level, but compared to what we had towards the end of last year, there's still a noteworthy trend up at around $940 per metric ton. Very pleasing for us. Our price development on the specialty fibers continues to be very robust. We continue to manage to bring prices up in those segments where we want to take them up, to keep them stable, where we want to keep them stable, and we're getting increasingly high comfort in the way we position those products, the way we command price premiums. We are very pleased with this development. So far about the market. Small recap on a major project for us, and that is the next step in the DWP strategy. As we have announced a couple of weeks ago, we have finalized a strategic exercise focusing on Brazil. Why? Very, very favorable wood economics. Some 50% of all the pulp capacity over the last 20 years was built in Brazil. As a consequence, very strong talent pool, excellent supplier network. So we felt this is the right place for us to be if you really want to be in a lowest cost position with an asset. Given that Brazil is Brazil and we have no experience and as Lansing over there, we decided to go with a partner. We've decided to do this with Duratex, an absolute leading company in forestry management, was the first company to get FSC certification in Brazil. Strong experience in this area, also experience in constructing and operating big-scale industrial plants. Very, very powerful shareholder base with the Itaúsa, which also I think is a major shareholder of the biggest bank over there. So overall, I think a super partner for us. And the specific location that we have chosen in the Triângulo Mineiro part of Minas Gerais, very competitive wood economics, particularly because it's a super large single plot plantation with 43,000 hectare, FSC certified, and very good logistics. The specifics, again, to repeat, we will hold 51%, so we will have management control, we will fully consolidate the joint venture, Duratex having 49%. We will only work with FSC certified wood. The design capacity will be 450,000. We will use craft pulp technology and eucalyptus wood, and we will expect the operational ramp-up, assuming a final investment decision in 2019, somewhere in the 22 time frame. We are now in the process of basic engineering, permitting. The team's working very hard, and we also guided that this is all yet subject to what the basic engineering outcome will be, and FX, of course, and so on, but that the CAPEX is somewhere in the 1 billion range. Good. Let's then switch gear and take a closer look at some of the specialty fiber business. As I said before, we are very pleased with how this business is doing. Specialty ratio now at 44.1%, as mentioned in my introduction. And particularly our specific marketing and business development help us to continue to proliferate applications, programs, and really preparing the base for, let's say, higher ambitions. Ecovero, stunning success, progress well ahead of expectations. As a consequence, we need to go now also to China and open a second production hub to have sufficient capacity. Again, that helps us take commodity capacity out because we are pretty much taking commodity viscose, turning it into Ecovero, because only Lansing and Nanjing today are operating the whole viscose environment according to EU Ecolabel. Refibra, we still see very positive spillover effect of this really long-term innovation that we introduced on the corporate perception of lensing, really underscoring our industry leadership position and opening doors to many brands and retailers that we found more difficult to open in the past. TensorLux also ahead of schedule, as I mentioned in my introduction, as a consequence, we will need some more capacity earlier than going for a full-fledged plant. That's why we decided to switch priorities and come with a small-scale capacity by the end of next year. And our low fibrillation quality of TensorLux or lensing of the lyocell is also going very strong. We didn't talk so much about this product segment, but it is a specific grade of TensorLux which goes into home textiles and knits. And there we see very, very powerful opportunities as blends with cotton, and the volumes are in this part really ahead of expectations. So we are playing with how we actually can shift between standard TensorLux capacity and moving some of the standard TensorLux capacity and move it into low fibrillation capacity. Good. So, strategy rollout going well, specialty strategy in full swing, and core part of the specialty strategy is to make sure that we create a strong pull downstream. As a consequence, we revamped our total brand architecture with lensing in a new logo and a new tagline with innovative by nature, both stressing sort of our innovation leadership but also our sort of commitment to work with renewable resources as well as that our products are compostable and biodegradable at the end. And we have three brands, two of them targeted towards the consumer, TensorLux towards the whole textile universe. We launched at the beginning of the year in Paris, and we are very pleased on how the whole TensorLux rollout is going. Biocell targeted to non-woven, and lensing in capital letters as sort of a real B2B brand focused on the industrial application. Now on the TensorLux side, we are, as I said, very pleased. You see here a couple of images on the different application which we are targeting. We have by now 20 million requests for hang tags. We have 2,000 of our industry partners that have subscribed to our database to work with the new TensorLux layout. And as such, we are absolutely positively surprised on how fast this rollout goes. We have compared this versus other benchmarks, and this level of progress is in about half of the time that we should have hoped for. On the VioCell side, that was launched at a big trade show in the non-woven area now in June. There we are focusing stronger on the purity of the product. Given the nature of the non-woven business, it is a longer cycle to redevelop together with our partners some of the value propositions they have towards their consumers, but we are very positive that we will see much more VioCell branded products in the various shelves. The last one, lensing industrial, you see a couple of the applications here, whether it's in the agricultural segment, whether it's for protective wear and so on, a clear B2B positioning. And with this overall architecture, we're not only much more targeted, we are also, I think, more effective in the way we use our marketing funds. Before we go into the financials, some activities of pulp and specialty fibers going very well. I mentioned already in my introduction, Heiligenkreuz now started up, gives already the first products. The pulp, the bottlenecking in Taskov, as well as our site in Lansing, is going according to plan. Our lyocell brownfield project in Mobile, Alabama, is the first major EPC, EPCM project that we are doing as a Lansing group. And as you remember, the output of this plant is very much geared towards the Asian markets. As a consequence, we look with a lot of detail and a lot of focus into the development that we see at the moment going on between the U.S. and China, all the protectionistic sort of wording and and actually actions, because this plays itself through not only in steel tariffs, not only in aluminum tariffs, it also plays itself through in the local labor market in terms of how it is being invested, in terms of availability of labor, but it also plays itself through potentially in how free you are actually to bring fibers into the U.S. in terms of import duties and so on. So we are looking very closely at that in making sure that we understand all the implications, all the posing and so on. The Lyocell Greenfield project in Thailand, leveling has started off the land over there, and the Greenfield project in Brazil I already discussed. With that, I would like to hand over to Thomas.
Hello and welcome. Also from my side, let me guide you through the most important financials for the second quarter and the first 6 months of 2018. Let me start with revenues. Revenues in Q2 came in with 525 million compared to 563 million in the quarter last year. That's a decrease by more than 6% and mostly driven by less favorable exchange rates. If we take a look at the half-year numbers, actually, half-year revenue came in with 1.075 billion. Again, here we see a drop of slightly more than 6%, mostly driven, again, by less favorable exchange rates, but also, to a certain extent, by lower volume. Looking at the specialty fiber share, we are now at more than 44%. That compares to 42% for the whole year in 2017. Moving on to EBITDA. EBITDA in Q2 came in with 93 million. That compares to the outstanding 135 million in the year before. And it's a drop of slightly more than 30%. Of course, this is the result of, on the one side, lower revenues, and on the other side, higher costs for material, especially caustic was significantly more expensive, especially in Europe. But on, in addition, actually, also energy was more expensive and to a minor extent also pulp. Looking at the half-year numbers, actually, we are now at close to 195 million compared to 270 million the year before. EBITDA margin is at slightly more than 18% compared to 23.6% in 2017. Moving on to EBIT, actually, of course, we see the same development there because actually depreciation did not change a lot over the last couple of quarters. EBIT came in with close to 60 million compared to 101 million the year before. EBIT margin dropped from 18% to 11.4%. Looking at half-year EBIT numbers, we are now at close to 129 million compared to 204 million the year before. Moving on to net profit and earnings per share, actually net profit came in with 41 million compared to 75 million the year before. That's a drop of 45%. And again, of course, here this is due to the drop in revenues and mostly, of course, the higher material costs. For the first 6 months, we are now at 91 million compared to 150 million the year before. Earnings per share are now at €3.44. compared to €5.55 in 2017. Moving on to some key figures and starting here with net financial debt. Net financial debt, of course, increased and is now by end of June at €144 million. The increase is mostly, of course, due to the dividend payment we made after the shareholder meeting. Besides that, actually, total assets did not change a lot. Liquid assets, of course, decreased because of the dividend payment. But besides that, equity still on a very high level with almost 1.5 billion euros and adjusted equity ratio of close to 60%. Last but not least, a couple of words on the cash flow development and the trading working capital. Actually, of course, the gross cash flow and operating cash flow decreased basically in line with the lower results. Free cash flow actually in Q2 was slightly negative, but actually overall we could pay almost all the capex we made in Q2 with our cash flow. Looking at the trading working capital, actually it edged up slightly. However, as you can see here from this chart, actually if you disregard the factoring, which we discontinued last year, actually we are always hovering around the level of around 400 million euros. So overall, I would say a very solid result in a market environment that is definitely more demanding than last year. And with that, I hand back to Stefan for the outlook.
Thank you very much, Thomas. Indeed, the market environment per se is not an easy one, but I think it also has a couple of things that are pretty supportive. So if we look at the total macro indicators, the demand for wood-based cellulosic fibers remains to be very strong, also because the awareness of sustainability becomes an ever-increasing issue, and that helps. What also helps is the cotton market remains strong, and that even so, we don't see sort of a direct correlation, but as I think also lined out when we spoke about the market, it is an important reference point. So, you know, high cotton prices generally are helpful. Now, what is, however, creating a very real challenge or more difficult environment is just the fact that we see a lot of capacity coming into the market. That started really now with Q2 and will continue well into 2019. In the previous calls, we have always said that the north of 1 billion announcements that were there, we didn't really believe in that, so sort of 600 to 900 kilotons. That is still sort of the bracket for the whole year that we see. However, probably more towards the lower end of the range. So we see capacities also being shifted in the future. One of the reasons also is that price, this will sort of put pressure on prices, but one of the reasons also capacities get shifted and some capacities are being taken out is because at this moment in time, prices together with very high input costs just make commodity viscose margins really, really tight. Industry break even in China is at the moment at around 14,850 RMB. Now, as I said, with current prices at around the 14,100 range, you see that quite a number of our competitors are, you know, having a very, very tough ride at the moment. And next to that, I think also that some of the tariff discussions that I mentioned before around mobile, just in general, I think can have an impact on the textile market. So quite some uncertainty also in this part. Third point, our specialty fiber business, we see no reason to doubt that we will continue to do well in this environment. And that is something that we feel very positive because it underpins, of course, our strategy. Now, going into the outlook, I think generally positive economic environment with 3.9% growth is by the IMF. Total fiber market should remain positive. As I said, demand on wood-based cellulosic fibers, but also cotton. After the years of moderate capacity expansion, as I said, we now see some more capacity coming into the market that shifts the supply-demand balance, putting commodity viscose prices really under pressure. And we feel that with our chosen strategy, we pretty much pay tribute to this industry development and have positioned ourselves very well. Now, given the high raw material prices that we see and the foreign exchange levels, we are quite pleased with the figures as we have them now, but we underline that the results for the year 2018 will be lower than the outstanding results that we had in the last 2 years. With that, I would like to finish our elucidation and open the line for questions. Operator, please.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time we'll begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star followed by one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw your question, you may press star followed by two. If you're using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selections. Anyone who has a question may press star followed by one at this time. Please limit yourself to two questions only so that everyone has a chance to ask a question. Should there be time left, we can start a second Q&A session. One moment for the first question, please. The first question comes from the line of Stefan Trubisch of Kepler Cheuvreux.
Good morning, Stephanie. Good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my questions. I would have a couple. I'll start with the following. Just one question related to your Chinese viscose side. I read 2 days ago that there has been a transfer in ownership. Basically, your partner, Nanjing Chemical Fiber, transferred a 30% equity stake, but it's not disclosed to whom. Can you provide us some color here? Did you acquire the full 100% now? That will be the first question. Tied into that, as we are in China now, you mentioned the tariffs and the trade war going on between the U.S. and China, and the U.S. Proposing tariffs on viscose fiber imports into China, and obviously your mobile plant in the US producing lyocell fibers. How would that affect your strategic thinking? If you could elaborate a little bit on that. And the second question would be on wood prices. Obviously, here one of your peers mentioned a couple of weeks ago that in Scandinavia and in this area, wood prices are going up strongly. We had now also this forest and wildfires in Scandinavia. Could you update us on your wood contracts you have in place and the pricing and what do you see in the market? Can we expect here also that you might face some cost headwinds from the raw material side at your pipe sites in Lenzing and Paskov? Thank you.
Thank you for your question, Mr. Trubrich. Let me start with the with our minority partner NCFC in China. Just to correct that, it is not that he has sold 30% of the share, but he has declared his intention to sell 30% of the share. It's part of the typical process in an SOE, what needs to be done. So they haven't been transferred, and it's part of the process. That's why there's also no disclosure yet to whom it is being sold. Now, this site and this operations is 100% consolidated. We have full management control, and we could be one of the potential bidders in all transparency, but I think if we are at this point, we will actually inform the market accordingly. So there has not been a transfer, but just the intention expressed of NCFC to sell. The second, just to clarify, and maybe that's what you meant, it is not that the U.S. will import tariffs on viscose, but China has signaled that they are considering to impose tariffs on wood-based cellulosics and viscose coming from the U.S. Now, there is no viscose production in the U.S. There is, however, lyocell production. And that is something that I mentioned before, what we are following very closely. If such step would be confirmed, now that would have an impact on us. Would this have an impact on us short-term? No, because of our network, we probably can redirect product, but it is something that we are watching very carefully. And as I said before, this trade war kind of posing is clearly not something that helps anybody, also not Lenzing. In terms of wood prices, we see two very different trends. As you remember, we have two major wood species that we are buying, and this is spruce and beech. Spruce, we actually see the opposite trend than what you mentioned. Spruce prices are at a very low level. Why? Because of the weather conditions that we are facing. Actually, bark beetle is celebrating birthday almost every single week. And we have a lot of damaged wood that needs to be brought out of the market. As a consequence, those people that are needed, frankly, to bring beech out of the forest are not easily available. So what we see at the moment is that spruce, which is the major raw material for our plant in Paskov, is at a very low level, even lower than what we saw last year, whereas beech is going up in price because simply there is less wood getting, it's not affected by bark beetle, but because of the wood cutting activities being lower because they're needed for spruce. All in all, I think it is, for your models, don't assume anything major positive, major negative to what we had last year.
Okay, good. Very clear. Thank you very much.
The next question comes from the line of Matthias Pfeifenberger of DB.
Yes, good morning, Stephanie Jens. Thanks for taking my questions. Firstly, on the capacities, you've said the impact on the pricing has started in the second quarter. Can you maybe share some of your intel? Is it really Tangshan at this stage? And as far as I understand, it's only a short part of the volume already ramped in the market. So the bulk of that will probably come in the next quarter. And also, maybe also, did you hear anything about Satory? Is it Q3, Q4? What's the impact? And then maybe, I don't know if this is too much to ask, but is there a EBITDA or EBIT trajectory you can maybe paint a bit for the remaining half of the year? And then secondly, I'm really on the, I forgot the second question, but maybe answer the first.
Okay. I will take the first question. I give the second one to Thomas, even so I think I know what Thomas is going to say. In terms of visibility on the market, I think, Mr. Pfeifenberger, you're right that in the first half of this year, we didn't see so much structural new capacity coming in, but what we did see is some of the players who have had environmental issues, partly working through themselves through the issues, so we saw some of this capacity coming into the market. And now we indeed, I think, and I will not go into individual players, even so we know what is starting up and what is not. The players that you have mentioned, I think, are the right ones to focus. Major steps were done at the end of Q2 now, and we see now also in Q3 and Q4 some of that in coming into the market. You remember we had the discussion about a year ago or sort of three quarters ago, where the question was, you know, we read 1.3 million tons coming into the market. We said, no, we don't believe this. It is 600 to 900,000 tons. And today, I think our view is that in the course of this year, we will get 600,000 plus in, but probably 900,000 is at the very high end. These projects, however, are not going to go away. They will be shifted into next year. So we will just see, I think, a long viscose market for quite some time, even though we also see one thing, and this is demand is continues to be very, very strong. At this moment in time, now you can never say what exactly is going to happen in this market, but if I look at just cash profitability and total profitability of sort of many of the players that we have in the Asian hemisphere, we have at the moment a situation that is, from a profitability point of view, as bad as what we have seen. Now, and you hear us, and I think you get it a little bit from the wives, Thomas Omdorf and myself, no, that is happening. Are we terribly worried with how we run our business? No.
Okay.
Good. Maybe Thomas on EBITDA.
On the EBITDA, let me refer to the outlook that was given by Stefan, but still, I would like to add one comment on that. I mean, EBITDA, of course, I mean, you have to take a look at, on the one side, of course, on prices. This is one thing. However, of course, you have to take a look at cost development. And let me highlight, there are two things. One is caustic. Caustic actually came down quite significantly over the last 2 months in Asia. We did not see that impact yet, or the positive impact yet in Europe. However, as I said before, I mean, caustic prices came down quite significantly in the last 2 months. And the other thing, of course, which we very closely watch is the price development of pulp. Pulp at this point in time is on a relatively high level, and also we would expect pulp to remain on an elevated level at least. And the last thing I would like to mention, of course, I mean, it goes without saying, that the foreign exchange development
yep.
watched very closely.
Yeah, so the dollar has become stronger as well. Maybe a last add-on. On the volume side, you mentioned that volume constraints impacted the first half but not the second quarter. So are these issues resolved, or are there deeper issues? Is there an issue with the boiler? Maybe an update there.
Look, I mean, on the volume development, I think we voiced it for the first time for the Q4, or actually when we released the numbers for fiscal year 2017. We had an unplanned shutdown at one of our viscose sites in Q4 and a spillover effect actually even into Q1. So actually volume-wise, the bigger impact actually we saw in Q4 and Q4 17 and in Q1 18.
Which doesn't mean that we will not have other also planned shutdowns as we took normally.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Laura Lopez Pineda of Baader Bank.
Hi, good morning. I have some questions. So first, the others line of your fibers division came down significantly compared to the first quarter. What are your expectations for the remaining of the year, and maybe what was driving this change? Also, secondly, your tax rate in the second quarter was also significantly higher than last year and also the first quarter. What's the reason for that, and is this a new tax rate that we should take moving forward, or should we take around the 22% tax rate that you guided before? And in the presentation, you talked about this Lansing Lyocell LF volumes that are ahead of expectations. Can you maybe, and your intention to expand production next year, so can you walk us through how this expansion takes place? Is it more like downstream capacities to Lyocell, or is actually more Tencel expansion in addition to the one in Asia and in the U.S.? And what would be the cost for such an expansion?
Okay, and then let me start with revenues. If I understood your question correctly, I mean, you were referring on the others line. Actually, what we do is that we put goods in transit negatively in that line, and actually we had quite a lot of or significantly more goods in transit by end of June than in the period before. So that's on the revenues. The second question, I think, was on the tax rate. On the tax rate, for those of you who follow Lansing for a couple of years already, you are aware that actually our functional currency in Indonesia is the US dollar. However, of course, taxes have to be paid in IDR. And depending on the foreign exchange development, actually, we might see some development like now that the tax rate is creeping up. We saw opposite developments in the quarters before. However, I think you also raised the question on where do we see it in the long run. If you just take a look at the statutory tax rates, I still would reconfirm that in the long run we should expect a tax rate that is slightly below the average of statutory tax rates, which is 25%. So slightly below 25% would be my assumption for the years to come.
Then the last question, Ms. Pineda, on the Lyocell LF. The product is a Lyocell Tencel product, so you don't need per se a different plant, but within the plant you need sections that allow you to cross-link this fiber. It's a chemical process as part of the Lyocell production. And we haven't finalized the option. That could be something that we do in one of the existing sites. It could be something that we do in one of the new sites. And I think it is yet something that we need to make a decision on. So we will not provide at this stage further detail. But once we have taken this decision, we will come back. But the one thing that I would like to stress is Lyocell LF is a premium product within the total Tencel family, and as such, I think just supports the overall direction that we're taking, because it's even providing better margins as the normal Tencel standard grade.
Thank you very much.
The next question comes from the line of Sebastian Bray of Berenberg.
Good morning, and thank you for taking my questions. Could I start, please, on slide 50, the extent of Pencell and Modal debottleneck? It now looks as if there are 31 kilotons of Pencell additional capacity increasing in 2018. Is this in line with the original expectations, or have there been an additional 5 to 6 kilotons added to this? Likewise for Modal, where is the 8 kilotons coming from? Was this flagged previously? And then two questions on personnel costs and CapEx. The personnel costs in the half year, I think, were up in excess of 5%. Given the investment in personnel you're making to support a new plant infrastructure, what is a reasonable rate to assume for the future? Is it likely a similar rate for the next 2 to 3 years? And finally, would you have a comment on the underlying level of CapEx for the next 2 to 3 years in light of your various industrial commitments? Is 400 million euro per annum a good rule of thumb? Thank you.
Okay, on the lyocell debottlenecking, indeed, we have not only debottlenecked, of course, our Heiligenkreuz facility, but as we have said, we have also taken smaller steps at our Grimsby site and at our site at Lansing. The Modal capacity, it all comes from Lansing. It's also part of our specialty debottlenecking. It is not yet all finalized. We don't see yet the full analyzed impact, but this is, I think, the capacity that we will have then available on this front. Thomas?
I mean, on the personnel cost, I mean, yes, it is, of course, true that personnel costs increased by about 12 million compared to the first 6 months in 2017. The reasons for that are, of course, on the one side, wage inflation, and on the other side, of course, FTE increases. FTE increases, actually, they are mostly triggered, or almost all of them are triggered, actually, by the projects we are working on. I mean, it's not a bit difficult on giving a guidance on how this will develop over the next couple of quarters, because this will highly depend on how we are progressing with the different projects we are working on. And your last question on the CapEx, actually, when the year started, actually, we said, okay, fine, we are expecting a number of around 300 million. I would say it will be a challenge to come close to that. I would expect now the number to be a little bit lower. And with the years to come, of course, they will be highly influenced by the projects we are doing. I mean, there will be a major impact, especially out of the pulp project. And let me highlight again, I mean, for the pulp project, actually, final decision will only be made in the next year. And that, of course, would have a significant impact on the overall CapEx profile. However, for that, we need, of course, to wait for the final decision.
That's understood. And sorry, as a quick follow-up, the capacity that has been delayed or potentially is being delayed in the viscose market from an H2 2018 introduction to 2019, could you give any idea of the magnitude in absolute terms of capacity expansions that are possible in 2019 versus the about 600,000 plus tons expected for 2018?
Mr. Bray, if we look at the various publications, there are numbers flying around for the total of 18 and 19, the beginning 20, above 2 million tons. Now, when we went through line by line each of the projects and did our own investigations, we think this number is exaggerated. However, we would expect that in the year 2019, a figure that is above the 600 plus kilotons that we see coming in now would not be impossible. But I think, as I said before, there is a certain amount of also judgment on what of those announcements might come in, and also how much of existing capacity, given, I think, the economic conditions, might be operational or not operational. So, but the net additions, I would say, from what we're going to expect this year, would at least expect the same for next year.
Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star followed by the one on your telephone. And there are no further questions at this time.
Good. Then I would like to thank you all for joining our H1 call, and I wish you a very good day. Thank you very much. Goodbye.